Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni. I'm joined not by my usual and wonderful co-host, Cody Thompson. He is on vacation, well-deserved. We always try to record these when we can both be here, but we have a guest co-host today. His name is Chris Stefanik, a dear, dear friend of mine, a client of mine. I consult to his organization. He's a guy that does ministry, and he agreed that he would be on our podcast today. How are you doing, Chris?
Pat, you can see I have a stupidly large smile because this is actually my favorite podcast, and I'm on it. So I'm so good.
Fantastic. We're so glad you're going to be here. This is going to be fun.
But it's great to be able to actually see the podcast because I didn't know that Tracy is actually doing interpretive dance of everything you say.
That's me. That's right up my alley.
That would be her nightmare. How are you, Tracy?
I am so excited today to have our first ever guest from the outside. It's fun.
That's right. And we miss Cody. Hello, Cody. Yes. We can't wait to have you back. But Cody will be proud to have Chris stepping in. And Chris, what is the title of today's podcast?
Iron sharpens iron.
That's right. Iron sharpens iron. Now, for those that don't know, that comes from the Bible. Now, I thought it came from a different place in the Bible. Where does that come from? Matt was telling us today.
Proverbs 27:17 is iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another.
That's right. And we are meant to sharpen one another. What does that mean? Well, in table group jargon and in terms of organizational health, jargon, I said that funny. And in organizational health, that deals directly with accountability, the need we have to hold each other accountable. And I will say this, of all the five dysfunctions of a team, lack of accountability is the most common problem and the greatest need. And it's an amazing thing. I've said it before in my speeches, but when I talk to CEOs, they will often say, oh, I hold people accountable all the time. I fired a guy last week. Hey, I'll fire somebody right now just to prove it to you. And firing someone is not what we're talking about. It's confronting them and saying, I need this differently, and really challenging people about getting better. And it's something that too many leaders, myself included, struggle with. Most people do. And that's what we're going to talk about today, why it's so wonderful. And it's in the Bible. It says we are supposed to do this for one another, but our society today more and more says, nah, don't challenge people, just affirm them. And this is the opposite of affirmation, but it's good for them. So Chris, what are your thoughts on why this is so hard?
It's really hard for me because my default, especially in my field of work, is to be, quote, nice, right? So a lot of times I feel like I'm not being loving if I'm really, really direct with people. Of course, when you're just nice, what you're doing is shielding yourself from looking like a jerk, and you're not telling people the truth that they need to hear. So love demands that we be more than just nice, which just keeps me in a comfort zone. So really, confronting people, stepping outside my comfort zone and laying the law down or telling people things they need to fix in their behavior or employment. I mean, that's the most loving thing I could possibly do, even at the risk of looking like a total jerk.
Right. And we did a podcast once called, you know, being a big J jerk or a little J jerk. And a little J jerk does things that are uncomfortable that might cause somebody to say, wow, that was kind of tough. And it's like, I know, but I told you because I loved you. A big J jerk, ironically, is somebody who would never do that because they're protecting themselves. And I think that's what I love what you said there. It's selfish to not hold people accountable.
Yeah, I think this is one of your biggest gifts, Pat, working with you. One of your biggest gifts is that you know how to be a jerk in the right way.
Thank you very much.
And it shakes people. Like a lot of people go into rooms where there's just a lot of human respect and they want to respect the order of things and the legacy and the way that things have always been done. And, you know, especially if you walk into a room where, you know, half the people's last name is something like Nordstrom or Coors, right? You'll walk in and be like, I don't want to mess with these people. And Pat, you don't have any problem messing with everybody and getting everybody's stuff. And you know, you don't walk in the room with the idea that, well, everybody here must be doing it right. No, you walk in the room thinking, okay, they're probably doing half this stuff wrong, and let's not be afraid to go there. And I got to tell you, as a friend, but also as a consultant, it's been one of the greatest blessings because it just shakes everything to its core when you come by for a day and give everything that fresh set of eyes, and you're not afraid to challenge literally everything. And it's what we need. It's the most loving thing ever.
I appreciate you saying that. And you know it because you've, like I said, you're a client as well. I've consulted to your organization and to you. The key for me to do that is one, to know that I'm not doing it from a position of superiority. Like, I've made all those mistakes. So I'm not saying like, I would never do that. You guys are terrible.
Right.
And if I can do it in humility, but I can't soften it so that you miss it, that would not be good. So yeah, sometimes I do feel like a little J jerk when I say, Chris, don't do that. And I say it to all of my clients. And in the end, 19 out of 20 times are like, thank you for telling me that. The people that I see every day sometimes hesitate to do that, and they need to hear it.
And there's got to be that, you know, within the workplace itself, right? If even with people who are my employees, for them to be able to push back and be totally brutally honest with me. I mean, I just had a meeting today where my director of operations, Mary, said, you know, Chris, you're so great at the ideas. Here's what we have plotted out for the next year. Can we please commit to killing the good idea fairy?
That is golden that she would say that to you.
Right? Like, whenever the good idea fairy flies in the room, we're going to go ahead and kill the good idea fairy. But, you know, that, I could have said, well, that's kind of mean. I'm really good at the ideas. And I get all ruffled. Like, no, this is what iron sharpening iron looks like. And it's not something that just happens in a shop. I love this image because my first thought is iron sharpens iron. Okay, so that you sharpen your blades in like a bladesmith shop. No, actually, iron is probably going to sharpen iron in a field of battle when the swords are clinging and clashing together. And that's where this is actually going to happen.
And that means it's never really all that comfortable or fun. Nobody comes to work and says, today I feel like sharpening iron. You know, it is easier to have a pillow fight than have iron sharpen iron.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody's better for a pillow fight at the end. And so it's that moment. I mean, even I'm talking to, you know, Tracy's here and Matt's on our engineer and Karen's in here helping me out. And you, we're all friends. But there are days when I'm like, oh, I don't want to tell Karen she has to do this differently. I had one yesterday and it was really subtle. And I thought, oh, I don't want to do that. And yet if I don't do it, she doesn't know where I'm coming from. And later something really bad's going to happen when she says, why didn't you just tell me? Mm-hmm. And then I'd have to say, because Karen, on the official level of things, I'm what's called a wuss. And it's so easy in that moment to wuss out.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's especially hard for people like you and me, Pat. We have a very similar kind of spirit, and there's a whole lot of heart in everything we're doing. Mm-hmm. And there's some kind of leaders, and you've met a lot of these people way more than me, who have such low emotional EQ that it almost doesn't even take courage for them to just assert themselves, right? It's like, it's just what could the consequence possibly be, and why would I even care?
I wish I were like them more, when they can just go, excuse me, but you're not very good at this. You should probably get better. Back to work.
Just hearing you say that, it's like, man, I wish I could just in my daily life just do that, right? And it requires it's painful, man.
Yeah,
it's so painful, but so necessary. And I think if I'm in the right headspace, it's precisely love for that person that's going to drive me to do it. Love casts out
fear. Yeah, love casts out fear. You know, the funny thing about this, you guys, is that what I really fear ultimately is rejection. Mm. I fear that they're going to go, yeah, I don't want to be around you anymore, or I don't want to hear from you anymore. You know, at the end of the day, it's not anything but human rejection that we fear. Mm. Like, oh, this could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And of course it's not. It's the straw that's building up the camel. But in that moment, my fear that they're going to say, that's enough.
Up the camel.
Yeah.
And Pat, I would say that being a recipient of that over the years, it is truly a gift. It's never easy. It's always painful, but it is a gift being the receiver of that.
Yeah.
And Tracy, you were the one that taught me this, I remember, years ago, because I am a wuss. I don't like holding people accountable. I'm learning to get better at it at home and at work. But it was Tracy who I was giving her a performance review. And I'm not super formal about that. We're a small office. We give people. But I was sitting down with her one day and telling her, okay, these are all the things you do well. And she's like, how about, what can I do better? And I was like, well, I don't know, Casey. I mean, Tracy, you're really great. And I don't think that. And she's like, Pat, tell me. I know you don't like to tell people stuff like this, but I can't get better if you don't tell me. So I need you to do this for me. And that's when I realized, oh, I'm holding back because I care about me, not you. Mm-hmm. And that's what helped me get much better at it.
Mm-hmm. It really helps to think of that, Pat, to think of the, I don't know, to choose what I'm going to fear, right? Am I going to choose to fear my own emotional discomfort more? Or I could play my fears against each other and say, you know, I'm going to choose to focus on the fear of that loss of that person's friendship if I keep bottling this. Like you and me had a great conflict several weeks ago where I'm like, hey, Pat, that was really jerky when you said X. And you know what drove me to say that as a non-confrontational guy? I thought there's no way I'm going to put my friendship with Pat in the line. I'm going to throw it out there.
And when I got that, and you did it by text, and I got it, and you said, hey, you kind of dismissed me earlier today. And I was like, right away, I was like, you are totally right. I did. Here's what was going on. I'm sorry. And it took us literally like 3 minutes to recover from that. And I called you and I said, I'm so glad you told me that. Because if you don't, it's just going to go someplace else and it's going to leak out later and we're not even going to know what it is.
Right. Puts the friendship on the line. I can sometimes another great fear to think about if I'm not confrontational enough is what I'm going to bring home and dump on my wife and kids when I get home, bottling all this work frustration, fearing what I'll do to that employee. Like Tracy said, what an employee is really craving is honest feedback. Like the worst thing you could do is have them wondering, are you happy with me? What about my performance that you're not happy with? So to think of those bigger things that so outweigh my emotional discomfort in the moment.
Karen just wrote me a great note. It said, people usually know when there's an issue too. And not saying it to them is doubly painful. Because it's like, oh, you're not even telling me. But I can just see the look on your face. And it's so much more short-term painful and medium-term relieving to just say, here's what's going on. Yeah, Tracy?
Can I ask, does iron always sharpen iron, or is there a level of a foundation of trust that must be there?
That's a great question. And the answer is yes. Iron doesn't sharpen iron when you see a stranger at the airport and you decide to sharpen their iron. They're like, dude.
Not effective.
No. And like on the five temptations or this five dysfunctions of a team, there has to be trust. Mm-hmm. And there has to be ideological conflict. Like, what's the right thing? And then there has to be buy-in. And when you have that, then you're sharpening that iron within the context of something you've already agreed that you want to do. Mm-hmm. So yes, there has to be that foundation. But what we've learned is there's plenty of people that have trust. They've had conflict. They bought in. And then when they see that person not delivering or not behaving that way, that's where they wuss out. Because it is the hardest part of the five dysfunctions. To hold someone accountable. It's one thing for me to disagree with you around a plan or an idea. It's another thing to go up to you and say, ooh, Tracy, I think the way you're doing your job is messing things up a little bit. I need to talk to you about that. I don't even like pretending like I just did a little role play with Tracy on the radio or whatever else.
And it was uncomfortable. So,
I was like, it wasn't real, Tracy. I promise it wasn't real.
Yeah, we struggle with accountability on our team. This is this is consistently our lowest score on our team assessment.
Yeah. And what that does is it creates a certain kind of harmony, if you will, but it's fake. Mm-hmm. And you know, when we work with teams, when we deal with accountability, I want to say this. I don't like 360 feedback. A lot of people think, hey, a good way to make people more accountable is we will bring in a consultant. We will anonymously survey everyone that works with you. We will get the feedback and present it to you from a third party, and you won't know who said what. Mm-hmm. And at the end, it breaks down. And yet companies do this all the time. And when I describe that, they're like, oh yeah, that's what happens. So what we do is when we have enough level of trust, and we've talked about conflict and commitment, we sit down with the leadership team and do something called the team effectiveness exercise. And it literally is just this. Everybody write down one thing about everybody else at the table that you love, that they bring to the table. They make this team better because of this characteristic of them. Not like a little micro skill, but like who they are. Now write down the one thing about everybody else at the table other than yourself that they do that hurts the team sometimes. We just want one. We want it to be the big one. At the end of that exercise, it takes an hour and a half. You start with the leader. Everybody goes and tells the leader, here's the thing we like about you the most. And it's awesome to hear. And then that's usually when they're like, wow, that's awesome. And then we go, now what about the other? And they go, here's the thing you do that drives us crazy. The idea of fairy, Chris, you know, people are like, yeah, hey. Right. Usually they're very similar too. They're rooted in one another. But sometimes when you pull the idea fairy out and it's late in the process, you can drive us crazy. And then right. The leader goes, I know it. You're right. Please help me with that. Everybody else is like, well, if the leader just listened to all that, we can do it too. We go one by one around the table. Everybody's heard the best and the worst. That is where they have the most affection and affinity for one another. Because after somebody has told you those things, positive and negative, you feel like they care about me. Mm. But if you never tell somebody the things that could make them better, you're going to doubt whether they're actually all that concerned about your development.
Mm. That 360 feedback idea too. Think about this. We're going to build trust by you finding out that a third of the people on the team hate you and you don't know who they are. That sounds like a nightmare. But these are the webs we weave when we're not just direct on the spot. When we put so much thought into how am I going to do this, it ends up being the opposite of sensitive. You know, I often wait for the perfect moment, try to read the emotions on my team, try to say it in the perfect way. And I could spend 8 hours composing a 3-paragraph email when I should have just thought, you know what, this is in the forefront, and it's in my frontal lobe right now. I'm just going to tell you what I'm thinking in a loving way. That conveys more openness and just naked vulnerability than saying, I'm going to care so much about what you think and how you'll receive this that I overthink it right now.
That's a great point. And usually when I try to overthink it and overword it, it can be kind of demeaning actually. Because they're like, I know what you're trying to say, but you really, do you think I'm that fragile? And really the answer should be, no, but I am. It's usually our fragility which keeps us from being direct, not theirs.
Yeah. Please love me. Please don't abandon me.
Right.
So it's coming out of a lot of this.
Yeah. I think it does come down to that, doesn't it?
It does. And that's why these close interactions with other people are so ultimately healing for us when we force ourselves to do the right thing and force ourselves into real human community that's honest. This is all part of the plan to make us better human beings.
That's right. And for those that would like the most important ROI, the efficiency of it and effectiveness of it, you address things really quickly. You know, I mean, like you and I, Chris, like on that moment there, you're a client and a friend and you were just like, I think you were dismissing me today. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was. My bad. Here's what was going on. Good. Done. Gone.
Yeah.
You know how many teams of Fortune 500 companies will that issue will float around for 6 months before it gets addressed?
Oh my gosh. It's like a cancer in the little body working there. It's incredible when we let that stuff sit.
Right. Which is why, to get back, why it's so important to have trust and to engage in good conflict and to make commitments to one another, but then do not throw all that goodness away by wussing out. Maybe that's what we should have called this podcast.
Don't wuss out.
Don't wuss out. That's what we want to talk about today. I mean, that's the message. So think about yourself. Is iron sharpening iron in your organization and in your life? And we all love it when people sharpen our iron, but we have to be willing to sharpen theirs too. Mm. And that's a simple, but hopefully a good message.
Amen. And all the way to the point of sometimes sharpening iron by letting somebody go, right? Because we think that's the least loving thing of all. If someone's really not a fit, all you're doing is stifling their own use of their gifts.
Yes.
Which is just nothing loving about it.
It's a great point, Chris. We're going to do another podcast soon called about pruning. The idea of pruning, which also is mentioned in the Bible, and every farmer you know and every gardener you know will tell you how important it is, and it's important in our organizations too. But that is the subject of another podcast. Chris Stefanik, thank you for being with us today. It's been fun.
So stoked to be my favorite podcast ever.
There you go. All right, Matt, thank you, Tracy, Karen, Chris, everybody. And thank you, our listeners, for being with us. We love doing this, and we will look forward to talking to you next time on At the Table. God bless.